meaning of holidays is going to be part of our Let Me Tell You, the Joan Hamburg original podcast. And Joe Nathan, who's one of the great cookbook writers and food historians, particularly Jewish food, is coming to visit with her amazing tales and recipes. Be there. Welcome to Let Me Tell You, my Joan Hamburg, my original podcast. We introduce you to friends, neighbors, celebrities, whatever. And you're going to enjoy hearing Joe Nathan, who's one of the most prolific cookbook authors, a wonderful storyteller, and has done amazing things. And of course, this time of year, there's a lot of theater. And people are always saying to me, what should I do? I've got the kids. Is it worth taking them to a Broadway show? You know, when I was a child, almost every Saturday, and I didn't live in New York City. I lived in what was then a little town on Long Island. Now it's sort of big suburbia. But my mom on Saturdays would take me and we would just pick a show. Tickets were not expensive, and we went to theater, and then we go out for lunch, and it was like the thrill of my week. And you can still do that with your family. Sardi's is right in the heart of the theater district. We love Sardi's. We're very attached to it. And they have really nice food. It's fun to look at the caricatures. You're right in the heart of the theater. It always feels festive. 234 West 44th Street. A perfectly good menu. Everything from the Sardi's Club, you know, typical chicken and tomato and bacon. When I was just starting out in this business, Arlene Francis, who was my mentor and a wonderful actress and TV personality, would take me to Sardi's. And she would always order the chicken club. Always. And I think about it every time, think about her, I go there. They have always good stuff. And a group of you go to Tony DiNapoli. They serve feasts almost every day, and it's really good. So, and family-style portions. It's tasty. When my relatives came in from South America, and there were so many of them, I did that. I took them to Tony DiNapoli, and they loved it. They thought it was special, and it was. If you've got the kids, Aladdin is a great show, Beetlejuice, A Christmas Carol, Frozen, Harry Potter. Harry Potter comes in two parts. I'm actually taking my granddaughter, and she's in from L.A., and they're only here a limited time, so we're only going to do part one. But she's obsessed with Harry Potter. You've got The Lion King, another one that kids would like, and, of course, The Nutcracker. From when I was a kid and my mom would take me at the New York City Ballet, at the David Koch Theater, right there. And it's a holiday classic. 90 dancers, the most gorgeous music. Absolutely love it. And it's something you're going to want to do. And if you don't want to have a big deal meal, Shunli, the Chinese restaurant, has a cafe next to the big restaurant, and they have carts of dim sum. And you show me a child who doesn't like little egg roll or spare ribs or whatever. And it's not that expensive, the cafe, and you can order a couple of things and keep them happy. It's always fun. I don't like to eat too much when I go to theater. And, you know, A Christmas Carol, the musical, is at the Players Theater on McDougal Street in the Village. So, again, it's fun to do that and take the family. And my special guest, who's going to make your mouth water and fill you with thoughts of reminiscent and family and friends, that special person, Joe Nathan, is straight ahead. Welcome, everyone, to the Joan Hamburg Show. I always wanted to live in Joan Nathan's house during the holidays. And I'm sure you would like the same thing. Joan is a very famous cookbook author. She's a journalist. She makes me hungry all the time. I love hearing about her growing up, about her life, about her family traditions. She's constantly being honored, and we honor her too. She's got a big deal coming up. It's actually a famous Israeli museum, and they're having a celebration in New York City on December 2nd. So welcome to you, Joan, and tell me about everything.
Oh, well, thank you. It's always nice to be on your show. I was very, very pleased when I got this email from the Museum of the Jewish People, which is called now.
And where is that?
It's in Tel Aviv. And when I first started out as a cookbook writer, it opened in the late 70s. And I remember, there was no Holocaust Museum. There was nothing, there was no museum where I could learn about my background. And I went there with my husband on a trip to Israel, and I just was amazed because I had already been exploring Jewish food from the diaspora when I lived in Jerusalem. But here was this museum talking about the different Jewish people from different countries. Like, my family was German Jewish, and I learned about my relatives and the Holocaust and all this from this museum. So when I got this email last summer that they wanted to honor me, I was thrilled.
And it's exciting. And they're doing it right here in New York as well, right?
And right, they're doing it in New York and at Ziegfeld Follies on the 2nd. They're having food for my books, and they're having all kinds of food people talking about food from the diaspora.
Right.
So I think it's going to be a lot of fun.
It is. And Joan's book, well, it's one of my favorite books. I don't know with Nathan, who turns out books like you can't believe, but King Solomon's Table, where she looks at Jewish cooking from all around the world with spectacular recipes. And I love when you talk about your family and how you grew up and your mother. You were born to it. Literally.
I was born to it, right. Well, my mother didn't like to cook, but she became a good cook. In her 50s, she started cooking. And, she would be... Actually, it's funny when you should mention my mother, because when they invited me to do this, all I could think of was think of my parents. They would have been so proud.
Of course. And your mother ran, even though you say she wasn't a cook until she was well in her 50s, but she ran Fabulous Table.
She certainly did, till she was 103.
You're kidding. Shows you how all that good Jewish food is going to keep you going, right? Whether
exactly.
It's the fatty fried food from one part of a family to cooking that's very simple.
Right. It was, anyway, so that's, that's what I'm doing. And, of course, now I'm working on regular foods for my family and for Thanksgiving. So
what do you do? Anything special Thanksgiving? You do a turkey?
Of course.
Right, we all do
the turkey.
Actually,
I'm getting a turkey, a kosher turkey from Grow and Behold.
What is that?
They have organic but really very good turkeys.
Mail order?
Mail order.
I'm writing it down because explain, I'm not kosher. But I always buy kosher turkeys because they're brined and they're so juicy and it takes less time to cook. So Grow and Behold is mail order and they'll just send it over.
Right. And actually, I have to defrost it. But anyway, and then I'm trying a lot of old recipes.
Like?
And somebody just gave me a wonderful... stuffed grape leaves from Persia, and I thought that would be a way of talking about the diaspora.
Right.
So that's going to be an hors d'oeuvre, and we're going to do a ceviche from a new recipe I got from Israel, and my hummus. Just these are the hors d'oeuvres, and we're having 14 family members. So I'm going to do of course, sweet potatoes.
Right.
And I don't know if you ever knew this recipe, Joan. It's my grandmother used to make chestnuts and prunes for Thanksgiving. And I'm going to add a little onion to it, sauteed onion, see how that tastes. And then I'm going to just do roasted vegetables and a string bean salad and pumpkin. I'm actually, somebody's giving these to me. I'm not making them this year. Pumpkin, apple, and pecan pies. Very
basic. Wow, that is delicious, though.
Yeah.
I love that. It's a lot of work, but it's worth it. Are your children cookers like you?
Well, yeah. I mean, they're not like me, but they, fortunately or unfortunately, we all like to eat. And they're gatherers. They two of them live in L.A., and they always have Shabbat dinner.
Really? That's interesting.
And they when they can, they make challah. And, I think that just as my husband and I have always gathered our friends for holidays and for the Sabbath, it's a way of getting rid of the time and sitting there without your cell phone at the table and convening with people and over good food. What could be better in the world that we live in? And so it connects us.
No, I'm absolutely with you. And we have this enormous, people say it's out of control, but it isn't. This year we're 47 people.
Oh, my goodness.
And we do the same. My audience knows I've been telling them how to make my grandmother's Ritz cracker stuffing forever. They roll their eyes, Ritz cracker stuffing. It's just so delicious. And as I say to the kids, even if you don't like it, it's persistence of memory.
Absolutely.
That grandparents did it, your mother, your grandmother did it, your great-grandmother did it. This is part of your DNA.
And that's what your and my role is, I think, as parents, is to create these memories. And you can only create the memories with foods that have a story.
No, I agree. I was reading in one of your people sent us some background on the award you're getting at the Ziegfeld Ballroom, which is one of the, speaking of landmarks in history and memories, 141 West 54th Street, honoring Joan, who's written at least 11 cookbooks. But you were talking about foods that you love, and you talked about chicken fricassee, and all of a sudden, this memory flooded my head. My mother would make chicken fricassee with meatballs.
Mm, I loved it.
Chicken livers, chicken wings, and chicken cut into chunks, and tomatoes. And I loved it. And I can't tell you, I haven't thought about that in years.
Well, it's in Jewish Cooking in America, and I originally got it from Mimi Sheraton. She shared it with me, and I didn't grow up with it, but boy, do I love it.
It's so delicious. Now I can't wait to go make it, and I'm going to look at your cookbook. Now, why is brisket considered Jewish?
Well, it really wasn't brisket in Europe. It was flanken, because they had different cuts of meat. Brisket is a very American cut.
Uh-huh.
But it was something that was a kosher cut, and you cooked it long and slow and liquidy, and I just think it's so good. A really good brisket just reminds me of home. My mother made it, but she made it with farfel.
A noodle. It's like a rice noodle thing.
Right. She made it with that, and I guess she got them from Goodman's Farfel. That was it. I don't use it that necessarily. My kids like kasha varnishkas. My mother never liked kasha varnishkas, but my mother-in-law did. So I try to think about how can we bring all of our family into this meal? And, so that's what we're going to do. That's what we do.
You were the one who told me about kibbeh with the stuffed vegetables and things that I had never heard of.
I love that.
Did you grow up with that?
No, but I learned about it when I moved to Israel in 1970.
And that's when you did that. And what about something that you also had in your list called Damfla Noodle Kaline or something?
What is that? It's when I was writing Jewish Cooking in America, I interviewed Rhoda Goldman, who was one of the Levi Strauss family members. And she told me about this dampfknödel, and it's like a dumpling. It's a steamed dumpling. It's a Bavarian dish, but all the Jewish families of San Francisco, all these old Jewish families, they all made this dish. And she didn't give me the recipe, but she sent me to somebody else who I remember came to Washington and came to my house and showed me how to make this recipe. I don't even remember her name. And I never tasted anything. It's like a brioche-like dough with a caramel.
I want it.
It is so delicious. I only serve it for really special occasions. And then I went to, you know, to Bavaria, and I realized that this was something that the Catholics would make for Lent, when they couldn't have meat. So they'd serve like a soup for a meal, and then they'd have this rich dessert. But some, it's made different ways in different places. The Jewish way of making it is like a big a brioche dumpling that you roll, and then you put it, my guess is it was steamed because it was not made in ovens, that this is a very, very old dish. And you would steam it right next to a fire. And it would just, you know, cover it, steam it, and then put this caramel coating. It's amazing.
Gosh. It sounds fantastic. And, of course, you can join Joan at her event. And really, it's part of history. And this particular museum in Tel Aviv is about connection, connecting Jewish people from all over to their roots and helping in terms of personal Jewish identity. So if you want information, 212-339-6034. It's always amazing to have Joe Nathan on. Enjoy Thanksgiving with your family, and we'll talk to you soon, and congratulations.
Thank you so much.
Anytime. All the best. Bye. I'm Joan Hamburg. You're listening to WABC.